So as many of you are aware, I've just returned from Camp Simcha, and every summer we have so many difficult shilas, so many challenges that we need to deal with, and in particular, many halachic challenges that come up over the course of the 2 weeks that I am there. So one of the complicated issues that we face when dealing with medical issues on Shabbos is how we take care of 85 children who are all sick with cancer or in remission. And it's a very, very great challenge. One of the major discussions that we had this summer and also last summer as well is with regard to charting medical information on Shabbos itself, either by hand or by computer. And I believe this is a very rich discussion. That's what I'd like to talk about tonight, not because it might be relevant to us, I hope it should never be relevant, but because I think it's an opportunity to gain a lot of insight into the malacha on Shabbos of Kosev. I'd like to dedicate this evening shir, probably the first one to dedicate any shir in memory of this young woman, but we had a girl, Sophie, who was with us in camp for the entire 2 weeks, and she's a five-year-old girl who was an end-stage lung cancer, terrible condition, but she had an amazing time there, and she was taken care of to the last detail. We did everything, I don't mean we, I mean the counselors and those who were in charge of taking care of her did such an amazing job. Unfortunately, this afternoon, she passed away, and her levaya is going to be tomorrow. But I dedicate our Divrei Torah in her memory. She was a real beautiful neshama. So by way of framing the general conversation that we're going to have about this discussion here, I'd just like to introduce you to what I believe is a very important backdrop to this entire conversation. And that is a letter that Rav Asher Weiss wrote to one of the Talmidim. It's not a public letter, but it's a letter that he once sent me that he really had written to somebody else. But it's something that's very powerful and really frames our conversation here. He named Tzad Echad Ani Omer. He says, on the one hand, I say, De'ein bi'adeinu lasim atzmenu k'dayane ha'gzera shebirushalayim. In many ways, this part that I took out of the letter is a longer letter that's not relevant to our discussion, but this part of it really talks a lot about his general hashkafa in dealing with modern-day issues. So he says, on the one hand, he tells us, Ein bi'adeinu lasim atzmenu k'dayane ha'gzera shebirushalayim. We should not believe that we have the authority and the power, like the good old dayanim in Yerushalayim, ligzer gzeres u'lesakin takanos ki'ilu chachmei kedem anachnu. Let us not pretend like we are the chachamim in the days of the Tanaim, in the days of the Gemara, who have the ability to make our own gzeres and to make new takanos. Shebi'adam ha'torah v'ha'te'uda. Those great chachamim in their generation had tremendous scholarship. They had the credentials, they had the ability. Achme idach gisa. On the other hand, he says, you cannot be blind. Be'emes mutal al chachme kol dar vadar, lechazik es bedek habayis, ligdar geder, v'lamod beperetz, b'show v'inyin sha'ashat zricha. You have to deal with the issues of today. And you cannot just say that all of halacha stopped a few thousand years ago, and we are not going to deal with the phenomenon and the reality of the advancing world that we live in today. So this is a very delicate balance. Ukishem shaladaiti yesh lintos lekula bechidushim technologiim b'shah sheyesh behem tzarech gamer v'yefsher balav hachi. Just as I believe, he says, that we need to do whatever we can to make use of technology today to our advantage when we need to. Ve'ein kol kavana lezalzel b'kedushas Shabbos. That does not mean that we completely ignore the Shabbos issue. He says, on the other hand, you cannot allow technology to totally take away the Kedushas Shabbos. He said, there are some people who want to take advantage of technology today, basically to set up a system where you can have a smart home. And I'm not going to actively be engaged in anything, but I can have all of my appliances running, I can have things going on and off, without my doing anything. So he writes that this is something that you have to be very careful about, ulahasig b'Shabbos b'derech mituchkemes, that you're going to basically outsmart the Shabbos system, and set up a technological system that will have everything running on itself. And then he writes in the end, what is going to be with the sakana gedola l'choma Shabbos kachenu? This is going to pose a tremendous threat to our observance of Shabbos. And mishum kach nira la'anias daiti, tekeshem sheyesh lanu lahakal v'hafalas mazganim ayudein shaon Shabbat. The same way that we have to be makel to figure out a way to allow air conditioners to run on Shabbos. Now, we don't even think about this anymore. All of our homes have air conditioners running on Shabbos. Kivon shebizmanenu yesh tzarech chiyuni b'mizag avir. We are so conditioned to have the exact temperature that we are used to and that we need. Ushas hadchak gadolu. For us today, this is considered a shas hadchak, to have the right temperature and to be comfortable on Shabbos. So too, he says, kach gam b'mishevos chalav l'meinekes. When you have a woman who is a nursing mother and we have a breast pump that needs to be left on Shabbos, we figured out how to work with that. Machshirei Edim, if you have, I think that's a humidifier. If somebody is congested and they need to have a humidifier, or somebody needs to sleep with a CPAP machine, or wherever it might be. The inhalatzia l'cholim chayotze ve'ela masha'en kim benidon dinan. He says you have to look very carefully and strike that perfect and delicate balance between, on the one hand, making sure to keep Shabbos as the pure and pristine Shabbos that it is supposed to be, while on the other hand, not ignoring the reality that technology allows us today to have a life that can be enriched, to have a life that can be different, and that sometimes things call for us to make a judgment call and figure out whether or not our generation should be doing something or not. So again, as we mentioned, this is a very delicate issue, and the reason why I thought about it a lot this summer is because, as I mentioned before, one of the major discussions that we had was about recording medical information on Shabbos. So we have almost 100 kids in the camp. I think this summer they had 85 or 87 kids who were there. And all of them have different medications. Many of them are toxic medications. And many of them are very dangerous narcotics. And we have to figure out a system of how we're going to record all the information. What a child has taken, what they perhaps have not taken. Or I think it's called PRNs. When you have something that's a regular, what was that, a standard medication, or if you have something that perhaps is unusual, if a kid comes up with a fever, or a kid comes up with some other symptom, and you have to administer a different medication, that is important information for us to have later on. So what do we do about charting all of that? So it's a very interesting discussion, and by way of understanding the entire discussion and what we came to the resolution there, I think we need to have a broader understanding of the malacha of Kosev B'Shabbos. So we begin with the Mishnah, where we are introduced to the malacha of Kosev. Now, in general, the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos that all of the Lamedtes malachos were learned and derived from the activities that took place in the Meleches HaMishkan. So it seems that in the Mishkan there was some kind of ksiva going on. Now, what did they have to write? Rashi explains that what they wrote was, every time that they traveled in the Midbar, they had to take not only all of their belongings, not only their families, not only themselves, but they also had to take the Mishkan itself. Now, you cannot carry an entire Mishkan with the Kelim and just put it somewhere else. You have to take it apart. Then when you get to the new location, you have to put it back together. So therefore, he says, Rashi explains, that every time they would take apart the Mishkan, they would write numbers on the beams. And they would write, this is beam number one, this is beam number two. This way, when they got to the next location, they would then know how to reconstruct the Mishkan the same way that it was originally built. Now, the Ran asked the question, why do you need to do that? The Ran quotes in the name of the Yerushalmi, why was it important for them to know exactly which beam went where? If all the beams were the same size, what does it matter if this beam ends up being next to the other one, or it ends up being on the other side of the Mishkan? As long as you reconstruct the Mishkan in the same way, and all the dimensions end up being similar to what it originally was, what is the issue? So the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi, where he says, the Pasuk tells us, Vahakimosa es ha-Mishkan kimishpato. You have to make sure that the Mishkan is reconstructed in the exact same way that it was in the original form. Now that doesn't just mean the dimensions. It means, says the Yerushalmi, that Keresh Shazach Aliyas B'Tzafon, whichever beam had the opportunity and the schus to be on the northern side of the Mishkan, because that was considered the more spiritually saturated side of the Mishkan, because that was closest to the Aron, always had to be there. And the Keresh that was on the opposite side always had to be where it was supposed to be. And therefore, it was necessary for them to have a clear demarcation of where every beam belonged. That's why when they took the Mishkan down, they used to write numbers and letters in order that when they reconstructed it, they would be able to put it up in the exact same way that it was originally built. So the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos defines the basic parameters of the Malacha of Kosev B'Shabbos. Let's look at the Mishnah together. Here in number Beis. HaKosev Shtei Osios. Somebody who writes two letters. We assume that if you write one letter, that's not really called Ksiva B'Shabbos. The malacha itself is when you write two letters. And, again, the Achronim point out that that is only when you write two letters that mean something. If you just write Aleph Aleph, that's not the malacha of Ksiva. If you write Aleph Mem, that's the word Im. If you write Aleph Chaf, that's the word Ach. That's considered two letters that spell something. But if you're just writing two letters that don't have any meaning, that is not the malacha de araisa of Ksiva. So number one, says the Mishnah, Hakosiv Shtei Osios. If you write two letters, you violate the malacha de araisa of Ksiva. Now the Mishnah surprisingly writes, Bein Bimino, Bein Bismolo. Doesn't matter if you write those two letters with your right hand, which is the normal hand that you use, or you use your left hand. Either way, you will be in violation of the malacha of Ksiva b'Shabbos. Bein mishein echad, bein mishtei shemos, b'chaloshon, whatever language you use, chayav. You're going to be violating the malacha of Ksiva b'Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks the question, bishlema ayamin l'chayav. I understand why if you write two letters with your right hand, you should be chayav, because that is derech Ksiva b'kach. That is the normal way to write. However, asmol, when you do a malacha and you write with your left hand, why should you violate the malacha d'arais of ksiva? After all, that's not the normal way that a person writes. Ha'ein derech ksiva b'kach. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rab Yirmiya, bi'iter yad shanu. We're talking about somebody who is a lefty. And therefore the Mishnah says, if you are a righty and you use your right hand, you violate the malacha. If you are a lefty and you use your left hand, which is the regular hand to use for you, then you violate the malacha with the left hand. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, maybe we're talking about someone who's ambidextrous, who can use both hands, but basically what you see from the Mishnah is, if somebody writes on Shabbos with an unusual hand for them to be writing with, they do not violate the malacha of Ksiva b'Shabbos. And you look in the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Tes, number Gimel, where the Rambam says, HaKosev Shtei Osios Chayiv, if you write two letters, you're chayiv, quoting the Mishnah. And then in Halacha Yudalad, the Rambam then says, Hakose bismolo, if you use your left hand, o la'achar yado, or you somehow put a pen somewhere in between your fingers, you don't write in the normal way, biraglo, or you put a pen in between your toes and you figure out how to write that way, or bepiv, put a pen into your mouth, uve mefracto, pater. In all of those cases, you have not violated the malacha de araisa of ksiva b'Shabbos, because that is not the normal way to write on Shabbos or to write any day of the week. Now, what does the Rama mean when he says pater? Does pater means it's allowed? No. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in the very first parak of Hilchos Shabbos, he lays down the ground rules. And he says, any time that I write throughout the laws of Shabbos that something is going to be pater, that means pater aval aser. That means it might not be in the category of the malacha d'araisa, but it's certainly considered to be an Isser d'Rabbanan. It's certainly a Malacha d'Rabbanan on Shabbos, and therefore we assume that somebody who writes with their left hand on Shabbos is still in violation of a Malacha mid'Rabbanan b'Shabbos. So the round there on Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel, asks a very obvious question. Says the round, when the Gemara here talks about Ksiva, it clearly tells us that the only time you can violate the Malacha is if you write in the normal way in which people write. And therefore, he says, if you write with your left hand, or you write like the Rambam says, Kila Achar Yad, you do something unusual in the after Ksiva, says the Rambam, you would not be in violation of the Malacha. But now, the question is, asked the Ran, why should this be different than the Malacha of Hotzah? Where the Gemara clearly says in Masechah Shabbos, when we talk about violating the Malacha of Hotzah, the Gemara tells us, if you take something out into the street with your right hand, you violate the Malacha of Hotzah. If you go out into the street carrying something in your left hand, you're also in violation of Hotzah. So the Ran asks, why should there be a difference between the Malacha of Hotzah that you're going to violate with both hands and the Malacha of Ksiva, which you're going to violate only if you use your right hand? What's the difference? If you do something in the unusual manner from which it is normally done during the week, that shouldn't be a violation of the Malacha. So how do you understand that? And the Ran explains, I think it's a very obvious distinction, a very simple answer, and that is, he says, that ksiva is a malacha daka. In order to write something legible, in order to write something understandable, you have to use your normal hand. If a person normally uses their right hand, and now they're going to use their left hand, it's going to be very difficult, it's not going to come out clearly. And the same goes if you use your toes, or you use any other part of your body, it's not going to come out the normal way that it does. And therefore, he says, that would be defined as a genuine shinoi. That is really changing from the normal way to write. And therefore, he says, when it comes to ksiva, we would say if you write with your left hand or some other part of your body, you are not in violation of the Malacha D'oraisa on Shabbos. However, says the Ran, when it comes to Hotzah, sometimes I bring something outside with my right hand. If I happen to be carrying a package and I need to pick up something on my way out, I'll pick up the keys with my left hand. It's not so unusual. And therefore he says that would not constitute a shinoi. Yes, it's true. Most of the times when my hands are both empty, are both available, I'm going to carry with my stronger hand. But he says it's not unusual for a person to do the malacha of hotzah during the week using either of their hands, and therefore he says that would not be a shinoi. Now this is a very fundamental question when we talk about all malachas on Shabbos. How do we define a shinoi by a malacha? So take, for example, another one of the questions that comes up is, under New York state law, and I'm sure it's in many states, I'm just not aware, but in New York state law that I know, that narcotics and medications in a hospital need to be locked up. Right? You're not allowed to have them accessible or available to people who are roaming around. And the only people who have access to those rooms, I assume, are medical personnel. I don't think anybody else gets access. And the reason for that is obvious. Either because there were people in the hospital who were stealing drugs and then selling them on the black market, or because there were people who were taking drugs and then overdosing on them. So there were all kinds of issues. And now New York state law is that you need to lock those rooms. So what happens? In camp, we have the same thing. Obviously, we have tons of narcotics there, tons of medications, and we need to have a locked room. And the only way to get in is if you have a card, or some medical facilities have that you fingerprint, and that's the way that you're able to get in. But anybody else who's not in possession of such a card or doesn't have their fingerprint in the system is not going to be able to get into such a room. So the question is, in hospitals and medical facilities, so in Camp Simcha, we're lucky we got around the problem because we installed a regular key. That for Shabbos, the doctors and nurses have the ability to just open it with a key. Obviously, if there's an extreme emergency, they're just going to do whatever they have to do. But if you're talking about a routine medication that you need to get out of a room that you can wait an extra 5 seconds for, so they just open it with a key. But the question would be, in general, what do you do about a facility that does not have that option for a key? And this is a very interesting issue. And the problem here is, how would you define a shinui for somebody who has a fob, a key fob, and now that you're going to put it to the system, it's going to activate, close a circuit, whatever it's going to do, I don't know exactly how it works, but when that happens, how can I do that with a shinui on Shabbos? So some say, do it with your left hand. That's not a shinoi. Some days when I'm carrying my lunch and I'm carrying my bag into work and I have a bunch of other things and I'm carrying a book and I come up to the door and I need to get in, instead of taking my card out, my fob, with my right hand, I would easily take it out with my left hand. So left hand is not really a shinoi when it comes to that malacha. Or for example, somebody has to turn on a light on Shabbos for the purpose of a chola. So they want to turn on the light with a shinoi. No problem. So if you turn it on with your left hand, that's going to be considered a shinoi? No. Half the times when you walk into a room and you happen to see that the switch is on the other side, so you push it up with your left hand or with your right hand. So you have to be a little bit more creative thinking about how we're going to define kila achar yad or shinui when it comes to some of the other malachos. Here, when it comes to ksiva, the Gemara clearly says that it's a shinui if you use your other hand because it's not going to be done in the normal way that you do it. When it comes to other malachos, it's very, very difficult to really figure out how to clearly define a shinui. And in fact, the Chayei Adam, one of the great Gedolim before the Mishnah Berurah, everybody follow the Chayei Adam, and the Chayei Adam writes that this is really a very limited concept. The whole idea of shinui only applies to the malacha of Kosev. He says it cannot be extrapolated from there to any other malacha. You cannot extend this din. It is something that is only relegated to the malacha of Kosev, and it is not relevant to anywhere else. And he proves it, because he says that the Tosefta writes, HaTolesh, there's a malacha on Shabbos of detaching something from a tree. And says the Tosefta, Tolesh is considered to be a malacha, Beinim Talash Biyamin, Beinim Talash Bismol. Doesn't matter if I pick something off the tree with my right hand or my left hand. Why? Because I could equally do the malacha with both hands, and there would be no difference at all. So this is a major, major question. How do we deal with that? How do we figure out how to make something kila achar yad when in fact you are talking about a different malacha other than ksiva? It's a very good question. In camp we were lucky, again, as I said, by getting around the issue because we have a key there. But in many other medical facilities, this could present a major question and you have to really figure out how to deal with it. So now we move on to a fascinating discussion, and that is, we said that the Malach of Ksiva B'Shabbos is when you write two letters that are legible, written with your right hand. If you do it any other way, that's called the Malach HaDirabanan. It's Pater Avalasar, like the Rambam says. So now, there's a big discussion amongst the Rishonim. Rov HaRishonim say, and when I say Rov HaRishonim, I mean the following. Rashi, Tosus, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rivash, the Ran, basically all the Gedolei HaRishonim, all the Rishonim that we're familiar with, all say the same thing, and that is, our Mishnah said that if you write two letters, Bechal Lashon, in any language, in any script, you are going to be in violation of the Malach of Ksiva B'Shabbos. However, there is an opinion of the Arzarua. The Ramah quotes the Arzarua, who says that the only time you're going to be in violation of the Malach of Ksiva B'Shabbos is if you write in Lashon Ashuris. If you write in the age-old Ksiva that they used to write in the times of the Mishkan. After all, says the Arzarua, if we pattern a Malacha off of what was done in the Mishkan, then it has to be exactly like the Mishkan. And the Arzarua takes that very literally. If you write in any other language than the languages that they used at that time, you would not be in violation of the Malacha. And the Achronim write, that includes, according to the Arzarua, the Hebrew of today, meaning that's not the script that they used back then, obviously. Now that is a major kula. And the Ramah says, not that it's mutter, the Ramah says, quoting the Arzarua, that would be something that would only be a malacha midirabbanan b'Shabbos. So you understand where I'm going here. When you're trying to figure out, again, some of the nurses had a difficult time understanding the logic, because I suggested if we're going to have to document information on Shabbos, I think that it's better to document it in a computer than to document it writing it down. Now, at face value, you say, what do you mean using a computer on Shabbos? And I say, what do you mean using a pen to a paper on Shabbos? So when you break it down and you try to figure out all the reasons why a computer might be better, as we'll see, one of the things that we already knock out of the way is, whether it's a computer or a pen and paper, we're already talking about, according to the Arzarua, something that's only a Malacha D'Rabbanan. And the Ramah quotes the Arzarua, that if you're writing either in English or even in modern-day Hebrew letters that are not Ksav Ashuris, that is already considered to be only a Malacha D'Rabbanan. Now, the Magen Avram has issue with this opinion of the Arzarua, as does everybody else. So the Magen Avram says that, did you not see the Rambam? Where the Rambam quotes the Gemara as saying, if you write two letters, B'chal Ksav V'chal Lashon, doesn't matter what language you wrote in, doesn't matter what script you used, if you wrote two letters that have some kind of meaning, you have violated the Malacha of Ksiva. Says the Magen Avram, I don't understand how this came to be. How could it be that the Ramah quotes in the name of the Arzarua the opinion that is so outvoted? All the Gedolei HaRishonim, as we mentioned, the Ramban, and the Ravid, and the Ran, and the Rambam, and Rashi, and Tosa, everybody else agrees that any language you use is going to be considered a Malacha of Ksiva B'Shabbos. So how could it be that the Ramah goes with the opinion of the Arzarua? And the Nodiv Yehuda has a problem with this, and the Chasam Sofer has an issue with it. The Chasam Sofer writes, Chalila v'chalila! How could we follow this position of the Ramah? It's not true at all. Vaday halacha psuka delo kagos hanal v'chayiv chatos. He says, if you're going to use the Ksav of today, English or Hebrew, whatever it is, it's not a Malacha d'Rabbanan, that's the real Malacha d'Araisa. We don't accept the position of the Arzarua. Now, what I find fascinating is, it's not just the Chasam Sofer, it's not just the Noda B'Yehuda, it's the Chayyadim. Everybody attacks this Ramah. Nobody likes it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan goes so far as to say the following. I didn't put it on here, but listen carefully. Aruch HaShulchan says, Behagah Kasuv B'Sif Zeh. The Ramah writes, in this Siman and Shulchan Aruch, that, Diksav Shelahem Eino Aser Elamid Rabbana. The Ramah quotes the Arzarua, that if you use any other Ksav, aside from the original Ksav Ashuris, you're not in violation of the Malacha D'Araisa of Ksiva B'Shabbos. Writes the Aruch HaShulchan, Mitzvah Rabba Lemochko Min HaSvar. Again, I haven't read all the Aruch HaShulchans, not even close to half of them. But this is an amazing line. Mitzvah Rabba Lemochko Min HaSvar. It's a mitzvah, in my opinion, to take white out and just get rid of that line in the Ramah. It can't be. That's what he says. It's a mistake. Either the Ramah made a mistake or it's a printing mistake. It can't be that the Ramah went with the opinion of the Arzarua, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, got to get rid of that. V'kama min apokrim tali bozeh b'avonoseinu harabim, Ve'ein lazeh shum makom bedin chas v'shalom l'markein. Writes the Aruch HaShulchan, Or Zeruah is completely rejected. He has no foot to stand on at all. He's totally wrong. All the Rishonim rejected. I don't know where the Rama is coming from. Why does he assume this way? And he categorically rejects this, as does the Mishnah Berurah and the Igros Moshe and everybody else. Nobody accepts it. However, the Prima Gadim, not here in Hilchas Shabbos, the Prima Gadim in Hilchas Pesach picks up on this Or Zeruah. Now, how do I know that? I don't know the Prima Gadim in Hilchas Pesach. So how did I find it? In the new Mishnah Berurahs, they sometimes send you for a wild chase. So it writes in the side of the page where they have comments, it says, look here, and that sends you to look there, and it sends you to, if you follow the whole line of where they send you around, you end up in this Prima Gadim. That's how I found it. So the Prima Gadim in Ilchas Pesach, Siman Tuf Mem Dalet, writes the following case. Erev Pesach Shechalios Be'erev Shabbos. So Leil HaSeder is going to be Matzah Shabbos. Correct? I was supposed to sell my chametz on Friday. I'm supposed to take care of it before Shabbos. I forgot all about it. We were so busy preparing for Pesach, preparing for Shabbos. I totally forgot to go to the rabbi's house and sell the chametz. I didn't do it. Now comes Shabbos morning and I realize it's almost a Zman Isur chametz. What am I going to do? And I have a liquor shop. It's not just that I have a few cookies and crackers in my house. I can just throw those out. I have a big liquor shop worth tons of money. What am I going to do? I'm going to be mafker the whole thing. I'm going to lose all my money. What am I going to do? So the Prima Gadim says it's a Hefsid Meruba and I'm stuck. Because I did not take care of the Mechiras Chametz for whatever reason before Pesach, before Erev Shabbos. And here I am on Shabbos morning, and I have an hour left to figure out what I'm going to do with my whole business. Says the Prima Gadim, I have a great idea. You can figure out how to create a Shavuos de Shavuos b'makom Hefsed Meruba. You can make a double Derabbanan, and in a case where it's a Hefsed Meruba, maybe you can violate a double Derabbanan. What's the double Derabbanan? Number one, he says, go ask a non-Jew to write something for you. So Amir la'akum in the first place is only an Issa d'Rabbanan. But I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. Ah, says the Prima Gadim. The Or Zeruah says if you ask him to write in English, he's only violating malacha d'Rabbanan. Great idea. Go get a non-Jew to draw up a shtar mechiras chametz for you in English or in whatever language it is, in French and Chinese and Spanish. And this way it will be a double derabbanan, a shvus de shvus b'makom hefsid meruba. You have to save all of your liquor in the shop. You don't want it to go to waste. You don't want it to be destroyed. And you can't be mafkarit. Someone's going to steal all of it. So what you're going to do is you ask a non-Jew, which is derabbanan number one of Amir la'akum, to violate a iser derabbanan number two based on the Or Zeruah that he's going to write in a language other than ksav ashuris. And says the Prima Gadim, b'shas adchak, you have a right to rely on the Or Zeruah that is quoted in the Ramah. Amazing. So what you see from that Or Zeruah is that when you have a major Shas Adchak, you can rely on the Or Zeruah. So that's point number one that has to be made about all this. Generally, we assume that the Or Zeruah is not the accepted opinion. And when we define the Malacha of Ksiva, we obviously would not go with the definition of the Or Zeruah. But like the Prima Gadim says, if for a guy who has to do a Mechiras Chametz, it's just his money. If for a guy who has to do a Mechiras Chametz, we would allow you to rely on the Or Zeruah b'shas adchak behefsed gadol. So for sure, when we're talking about potential danger to young children, potential danger to patients, if we're not going to document something that they need for Shabbos, obviously we can rely on that Or Zeruah's opinion as well. And the truth is that this is quoted as well in the Chasam Sofer, that b'makom hefsed gadol, when it's a very unusually extenuating circumstance, you'd be allowed to rely on that Or Zeruah, that the Malach of Ksiva is only Dirabbanan if you write in a language other than Ksav Ashur. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, what happens in a hospital where you have somebody who needs to be discharged? Now, today the protocol is that you need to fill out discharge papers. Now, what do you do? So if you work in our local hospitals, usually it's not a problem. There are plenty of non-Jews around, and it doesn't have to be you, the Jewish doctor or nurse, who does it. There are many staff roaming around. Somebody can discharge them. I don't think it has to be a specific person. So what happens, let's say you're in a hospital where there is no option like that. You work in Shaarei Tzedek, and there is no option to get a non-Jew available to discharge somebody. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, find a non-Jew, figure out how to get the non-Jew available to be there for the discharge, and writes Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, have the non-Jew write it in something other than Ksav Ashuris. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's a shas adchak, when you have a patient who's been sitting a couple days in the hospital. Now they need to be discharged, they need to go home, they're not going to sit downstairs the rest of Shabbos or sit in their room in the bed the rest of Shabbos. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if it's a shas adchak gadol, you can have a non-Jew do the Amir La'akum and rely on the opinion of the Arzarua to fill out the discharge papers in English or in Hebrew, as long as it's not Ksav Ashuris. It's not a pikuach nefesh. Person's not going to die if they stay in the hospital the rest of Shabbos. Of course they won't. Will it be uncomfortable for them? Probably. Will it be very upsetting for them because they've been agitated sitting in the hospital for a few days already? Yes, it will be. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we have every right to do that. He has a discussion in the Nishmas Avram about, unfortunately, sometimes you have to fill out a death certificate on Shabbos. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you can try your best to wait until after Shabbos to have the death certificate, you know, filled out. But what if there's a reason, Mishum Kavod Amnes, he says, if you don't do it now, the hospital's going on strike tonight, I don't know, whatever, you can dream up a scenario, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's going to result in a major bizayon hames, a major lack of Kavod Amnes. In such a case, right, Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's room to argue that that's no less than the Hefsin Meruba of the Prima Gadim by Mechiras Chametz. And therefore, he says, perhaps we should allow the double derabanan, Amir La'akum, and the non-Jew is going to write in a language other than Ksav Ashuris. Okay, so far so good. Now we haven't yet discussed what to do. So should we do with a pen and paper or should we do with a computer? Very good question. So you have to know that the Rambam writes in defining the malacha of Ksiva, the Rambam writes another important discussion here that is very relevant to understanding the malacha itself and the nature of the malacha. So there was those in Eretz Yisrael who came up with this idea of using invisible ink. Invisible ink can mean two different things. So my kids come home from school with a squirt bottle of invisible ink that they squirt on your shirt and it's gone in 30 seconds. That's not what we're talking about. They came up with an invisible pen where it writes normally and after 24 hours the ink dissolves or disappears, whatever it might be. You can't read it anymore. So there were many who said, well, that's a great idea. If a doctor has to fill out information on Shabbos, obviously they cannot ignore that information. They need to record it somewhere, but let them write with the invisible pen. And then after Shabbos is over, they'll document it in the computer. Now, why does that help? Says the Rambam. Or does it help or does it not help? Not so clear. Says the Rambam. Let's learn it together. Oh, I forgot all that was on here. Okay. So the Rambam says in number Ches. Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Tesvav. Writes the Rambam as follows. Ein HaKosev Chayiv Ad SheYichtav B'davar HaRoshem VeOmed. The only time you're going to be chayiv is if you write something in a way which is permanent. Now that does not mean that if I write something and I plan to erase it, that's not called ksiva. That, obviously that's not what we're describing here. If you write something and it's permanent and then you plan to take an eraser and get rid of all of it, obviously that would be a malach of ksiva. But says the Rambam, if you're talking about something that is not going to be permanent, for example, he says, Diyo shachor v'sikra v'yichdov al davar shemeskayim. You have to write with real ink on a real piece of paper that is going to last. However, he says, hakosei b'davar she'ein rishuma omed. If you write with something that is not going to last, for example, you take orange juice, he says, mashkinu me peros. I take orange juice and I start writing letters with the orange juice on the table. So that's not going to last. In another 30 seconds, it's going to, what do you call that? It's going to expand, not evaporate, it's going to expand. And the letters are not going to, either it will absorb into the table or it will expand and you're not going to see anything anymore. Says the Rambam, that's not called Ksiva B'Shabbos. Or he says, you take a leaf and you write with a pen on a leaf. The nature of a leaf is that over a certain period of time, whatever you wrote on there is going to dissolve, it's going to disintegrate, whatever's going to happen. And therefore, says the Rambam, in those cases, since it's not called a Ksiva Shel Kayama, since it's not of any permanent status, that would not be a violation of the malacha of Ksiva B'Shabbos. So that is what the Rambam says, and that is generally the definition of Ksiva B'Shabbos. However, the Mishneh Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion wonders, what exactly does it mean to have a Ksiva HaMiskayemes? How do you define Ksiva that is permanent? Does it mean that it has to be permanent forever? Not forever, but for the foreseeable future. Or does it mean that it just has to last the entire duration of Shabbos? Which would be the major difference as to whether or not this pen will be helpful. Because the pen lasts 24 hours, which means if I write on it on Shabbos, it lasts for the entire duration of Shabbos. And the example that the Rambam gave of Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama is May Peros, when I take orange juice or something like that. That's really something that's not going to last at all. It won't even last till the end of Shabbos. So look carefully, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that the only time you're going to be chayiv is when you write something that is going to last on Shabbos itself. Where is that Rambam? Did I not put it on here? Yes, I didn't put it on here. In the beginning of Perek HaBoneh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, where the Gemara says there, Kala osa malacha umalachto miskayemes b'Shabbos. Kala osa malacha umalachto miskayemes b'Shabbos. If I do a malacha, and that malacha will last for Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? The Mishnah Berurah quotes a big dispute among the Rishonim. How exactly do you understand that line in the Mishnah Maseches Shabbos? Does it mean that it has to last just till the end of Shabbos? And that's called a malacha, because from my perspective, as I'm looking at it on Shabbos itself, it's here. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah has a big suffix, exactly how do you define a malacha hamiskayemes, or in this case, a ksiva shel kayama. What does it mean to write something that is going to be lasting for a long time? I think that's a very fascinating question. And that, again, will be the answer whether or not this debate is something, this invention is something that makes sense for us to use on Shabbos or perhaps not. Be it as it may, we didn't have them. I remember about a year and a half ago when Reb Asher Weiss's wife was in Sloan. So there was on one occasion she was not able to speak. She was not able to communicate. So all week she was communicating by using her phone. She was texting and she was letting everybody know what she wanted. And I remember it was Erev Shabbos, and I was in the hospital visiting, and Reb Asher Weiss got into a discussion with me about what's he going to do for his wife on Shabbos. How is she going to communicate? Now, he felt it's unreasonable to ask a chole to go 24 hours of Shabbos without having any mode of communication. Even though it's not directly related to their illness, but he said, can you imagine how much tension and anxiety they're going to be living with over Shabbos, that they're not able to communicate if they're not feeling well, if they're in pain, if something's uncomfortable for them. And therefore, he said, we need to come up with a solution. So what do you do? So there was actually a religious doctor there in Sloan who came from a different unit. He actually happened to have come to visit that day. And Reb Asher Weiss asked him, what do you do for religious patients who are here on Shabbos? So he said, actually, I was never asked the question before. So he came up with an idea. He said, we have a children's ward. Unfortunately, they have a children's ward downstairs. So he went down and said, we have lots of games down there. He went down and he brought up an Etch-a-Sketch. You know, those things with the two. So he brought it up and she tried it out. And just took her forever to make any letters out. Forget it. It wasn't a good idea. Then he went back downstairs and they had some game that was a magnetic thing. You take a magnet pen and you move it around and the magnets all come together. Okay, maybe that's a good idea. They tried it. She wasn't strong enough to pick her arm up and actually write letters that were legible. So forget it. That also wasn't a good idea. So a chiddush that Reb Asher Weiss had, he asked me to go out and buy, it was Friday afternoon, he asked me to go out and buy a whiteboard. He said that writing on a whiteboard with markers would be considered a ksiva she'ena shel kayama, because the nature of writing on a whiteboard is such that you write and then you erase. Now that's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush, because I said to him, I don't understand. If you don't do anything to it, it can last there forever. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to disintegrate. That's not like the Rambam says about writing with May Peros, writing with orange juice. That's a real writing. You're writing on a whiteboard with a marker, and if you don't erase it, if you don't do another activity to get rid of it, it will not disintegrate. It won't disappear. It will be there forever. Now, I don't know forever, the next 1,000 years, but for the foreseeable future, it will be here. So he said, no, but the nature of this kind of writing with this kind of marker on this kind of board is such that every time you write, you erase right after. So he said, maybe that's only called a malacha de Rabbanan. And after all, we're talking about a chole. At the time, she was a chole sheyesh basakana, so he thought it lowers the level of malacha. So that's what he did. That's what he did. It was a big chiddush to me. After Shabbos, I had called my father to ask him what he thought, and he thought it was, he said, I have to think about it. Like, he thought it was not right, not wrong. He just said he thinks it's a very interesting observation that he had. Now again, Reb Asher Weiss made a point to me at the time, and he said, you know, sometimes, he said, I get asked shaylos all the time from hospitals. He's the posuk of Shaarei Tzedek. And he said, I never would have thought of such a thing until it was my own family member who was in the hospital. meaning sometimes you get a shaila, and you think in the abstract, but when it's actually you, and you have to come up with a real solution because it's your family, and it's someone that you really want to find the solution for, sometimes you have to think more creatively than you otherwise would. And he said at the time he was grateful. Under the circumstances, he had a very difficult situation, but he said he was grateful that he was given the opportunity to actually be able to think about some of these issues that will now be helpful potentially to others who will be in the hospital later on. So this is the issue of Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama. But finally, we get to a major discussion about how to understand a computer. And that is a very important question. How do we understand the nature of writing on a computer? After all, is that considered a Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama? Because what happens? The nature of using a computer is also such that I write one thing, then I click out of the document, I go to something else, and it's not here anymore, right? You don't see it. At the same time, it's saved on a hard drive somewhere. So how do you... What? But even more fundamentally, who said it's writing in the first place? That's your question. And I think that's a very good question. And when I've discussed this with my father and Rabbi Asher Weiss, they both felt that writing on a computer is certainly less chamer. It's only Ksiva Midirabbanan. So as counterintuitive as it may sound, that you're telling people to use, instead of writing on Shabbos when they need to, you're telling them it's better, when you have to document information, it's better that you use a computer. It actually makes a lot of sense when you break down the halacha itself and you look into the fundamentals of the malacha of Ksiva B'Shabbos, you understand that when you have a Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama, it's only considered malacha d'Rabbanan. Is this considered a Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama or not? Good question, debatable. But even more fundamentally, is it a Ksiva in the first place? That's not clear that this is called a malacha of Ksiva in the first place, because after all, nothing's really being written. The way a computer screen works is you have pixels that are all next to each other and it forms a letter. So is that really considered to be a Ksiva in the first place is a very, very important question. Now, the Bir Halacha quotes a Rashba. When the Rashba tries to define what a Ksiva Shel Kayama is and what it is not, the Bir Halacha quotes the Rashba as saying that whatever normal people consider to be a legitimate amount of time for this Ksiva to last, then that is considered a Ksiva Shel Kayama. So when I write with a pen, most normal people assume, I think, most normal people assume that when I write with a pen, it's going to last for the next 10 years, correct? Next 20 years, I don't know, it's going to last. Most normal people do not think that when I write with a pen, after 24 hours, it's going to disappear. So the Rashba would say, that's called a Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama, to write with such a pen, because that's not the normal way of writing with a pen, and that's not what anyone expects when they write with a pen. On the other hand, if you take that Rashba's definition, that will be a little bit of a problem here, by a computer, if you assume that a computer is considered writing in the first place. But if you should assume that, then the Rashba's definition of writing and Ksiva Shel Kayama would be whatever normal people consider to be the amount of time that this will last. And most normal people that type in a computer assume that after 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, this is going to be gone. Right? So I'm not really helped by the fact that my computer goes on screensaver and now whatever I typed is gone or I clicked out of the document. That's normal for people who use computers. That's what we do. We click in and out of documents. Screen goes on, screen goes off. And therefore, perhaps, the Rashba's definition will be problematic for us to use a computer. But all things being equal, number one, you have the fact that a computer versus actual writing with a pen and paper, there's a lot of room to argue that that will be much better, much more preferred. Number two, you have the fact that we mentioned before that you're writing in English, and therefore you have the Ramaz Psak based on the Arza Rua, that we would assume that that already is considered to be only a Ksiva Midirabbanan. Again, that is rejected, but when you have a Hefsid Merubo or a Tzarech Gadol, it would be Mutter. Number three, you have the fact that who said this is called Ksiva at all when you're doing it only on a computer screen? And number four, he told us that he would suggest, and this is what he suggested to me last year, I did the same thing this year, he suggested that I buy thimbles. You know, many people who work in an office and have to flip papers a lot have rubber thimbles on their hands because it has a grip. So he said, if you're going to have all of the nurses wear a thimble on their index fingers when they're typing, he thought that that was also already considered to be kelachar yad. That's called a shinui, which also is a chiddush, because you're doing the same halacha, you're creating the same thing, and the same result is happening. It's just going to be a little less comfortable for you to use these. Now I have bigger fingers than I normally have, so it's going to be less comfortable for me to type than it normally is. But he believed that that's considered to be a kila achar yad already. My father agreed to that, and that's what we did. So we advised that they should use, whenever necessary, they should use a thimble on their fingers to type on the computer, as opposed to using a pen and paper, which would be a real violation of Malacha of Ksiva. Obviously, if you're talking about a real chola sheish basakana, really important information, you do what you have to do. There's no shaila. You can do whatever's necessary. But when you're talking about, like the Rama says, you have to sometimes make a calculation, hakala kal tchila. How can you knock down an iser to be something less severe, even when I have to violate an aveira on Shabbos, try to do it in a way that's going to be less chamur? So I think the way to do it in this situation would be to type in the computer in English using kilachar yad with a thimble. That would be something that really we're talking about very extreme derabbanans here, and really would knock down this from being a real malach of ksiva daraisa to being something that is certainly going to be far less chamur. So